Well, we want to finish up tonight in the series about approaching God, approaching the Lord. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We got through on regular time tonight, so it's not a radio message, all right? It'll be a full message, maybe with a little leniency. James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. The last in this series of how to approach God is approaching God prayerfully. If we're going to approach God, we need to approach God prayerfully. And there's nothing like prayer to the believer. In fact, there are some dropouts that you see in Christianity, and the reason we have dropouts is because they quit praying and they quit going to God and living close to the Lord. That's part of what happens. I wonder tonight, do you pray? How often do you pray? And are you sincere in your prayers? I don't mean just studying about prayer, but I mean praying and experiencing the results of prayer, spending a lot of time praying to the Lord. James 1, beginning with verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's prayer, folks. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, that is, he doesn't hold back, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You've got to believe God's going to answer your prayers. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What he's simply saying in these verses is we've got to pray, and we must pray believing God's going to hear our prayers. And then when we expect that and we pray and things are right in our lives, and we'll talk about some of those doors we've got to go through, then God is going to hear our prayers and he's going to answer our prayers. Luke 17:5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They were in the context of praying right there. And the Lord was teaching them to pray. And they said, increase our faith. We need to pray. We need to believe. We need to accept the fact that you do answer prayer. Now, here are a few doors we want to mention that we have to go through in order to have our prayers answered and have the joy of the Lord in praying. And that is the door of God's will. When we pray, we've got to determine, number one, is it God's will? We pray about a lot of things and ask for a lot of things that are not God's will. We need to determine whether or not it is God's will that we're praying for. It must be in order to be answered. Listen to 1 John 5, two verses here that give us some more instruction. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, now watch the wording of it, according to his will, what happens? He heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, if we know that he hears us, how are we going to know that he hears us? We're asking according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, that's pretty broad, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's prayer power. It works, and God honors it if we do it God's way. But we've got to enter into prayer knowing the will of God. And sometimes that should be the first thing we pray for. God, is this your will for my life? God, is this what you want for me? A lot of times we make up our mind and then we say to God, now bless what I want. But what we need to do is go to God and say, Lord, is this your will? Is this what you want for me and my life, my family, my job, whatever it may be? Many times we're asking for our will, but we need to ask for God's will in our lives. Now, there are some things you don't have to pray about. Did you know that? I've talked to some people and said, well, I'm going to pray about that. And there's just some things that you really don't have to pray about. For instance, should a Christian go to church on Sunday night at their church if the church door is open? Do you have to pray about that? No, not at all. What do you have to do? You have to obey the Lord. Because he says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Now, if your church only has one service, then you're obligated to be there in that service. Of course, I would leave that church and find a church that had two or three services where I could really be edified. But at any rate, When the doors are open of the local New Testament church, you don't have to say, Lord, do I go to church tonight? That isn't something you have to pray about. The same is true about your tithes and offerings. Do you pray and say, Lord, should I give a tithe to you, or should I hold it out this week? That's like walking into a bank and saying to the teller, should I rob you today or should I not rob you? You don't have to pray about that, amen? You just do what God says because it is clearly shown in His will. The same is true about witnessing. We shouldn't say, Lord, should I witness? Lord, I'm praying, do you want me to witness or not? No, because God has commissioned every born-again believer to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way the job's going to get done. Very weak amens there, but it's still the truth of the Word of God. We've got to pray in God's will. And if we're left alone, many times our decisions will be made out of God's will, according to our will, and the end result is we get in trouble. We really mess things up. Here's the second door we've got to go through, and that is pray in Jesus' name. We must pray in Jesus' name. You know why? That's His authority that He's given us to pray. Pray in Jesus' name. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We need to pray, I believe, according to the Bible, in the name of Jesus Christ, because He's the one that gives us that authority. A lot of times we pray and we get to the end of our prayer and we say, in Jesus' name, amen. We don't mean it. We're not deep into that thought when we say that. It's just a cliche. We get used to it, and we'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. And without even thinking of what we're saying, we need to pray in Jesus' name and know that we're praying on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a kid, back when they had full service stations, some of you might remember those. The younger generation probably hadn't seen such a thing, but we had Alvin Smith's service station, and my dad had an open account down there. And sometimes he would say to me, son, I want you to take the truck, and when you're in town, go by there and fill up with gas and just tell Alvin, you sign the ticket, just tell him that I told you to do it. And you see, my dad was an honest man, and that man knew he was going to pay his debts. And for years, that's the way we did it so many times. And I'd go by, maybe in the car or the old pickup truck when we had that, and say, Daddy told me to get 5 gallons of gas or fill it up or whatever. And then Dad said he'd come settle up with you. And Mr. Smith, Alvin Smith, I went to high school with his son, and he would say, okay, that's fine, no problem. You know why? Because, one, I knew that it was Dad's will, because Dad told me to go by and get it filled up. Number two, I knew I had the authority to get it filled up on His name. Amen? And so that's the way we need to do it when we're praying to the Lord. Know God's will, and then you can pray in faith and authority. And I believe God will show us His will. How do we know the will of God? Number one, the Word of God. And then after that, it's the Holy Spirit of God. And then it's certain things that happen in our life, and then it's closed doors and open doors. And then if everything else fails, just plain old common horse sense. Amen? That works pretty good many times to determine the will of God. So we need to pray in Jesus' name. And then thirdly, there's the door of confession. The door of confession. We need to pray and approach God. And so we need the door of confession. You know that hidden sin, that is to other people, it's not hidden to us or God, but hidden sin, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. Hidden sin hinders prayer. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that. Psalm 66 in verse 18, the scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I've said a lot about that lately, but it's so important. I mean that. And we need to realize that and recognize that. If we're hanging on to sin, there's no reason that God is obligated to answer our prayer other than to say, no, not until you get that straightened out. Not until you get that right in your life. Now, I'm glad you say, well, preacher, I thought when I got saved, all of my sin was paid for, past, present, and future. And in that relationship and in our standing with Almighty God, that's true, and our sin is paid for. Our sins are paid for because we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But daily when we fail God, daily when we sin, the Holy Spirit of God is grieved or quenched in our lives because we sin, and that becomes something that is very important to us and something God doesn't wink at or blink at or just overlook. Because we have sin in our lives, we grieve the Spirit of God. God is not pleased. That's why we have to confess our sin. See, God's not going to hear us when we pray if we have sin in our heart. Now, when the Bible is talking about the husband-wife relationship, for instance, husbands, if you're not right with your wife tonight or vice versa, you have no reason to expect your prayers to be answered. A lot of times on Sunday morning, in fact, I think it happened this morning, my wife brought up a subject, and I said, let's put that on hold, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, all right? Because I wasn't totally sure I was agreeing with her on it, but I didn't want to have a disagreement just as we were coming to church. Not really. There was something that we wanted to discuss, and it was something we had to make a decision on. So I was thinking about it. I said, let's just put it on hold. By the way, I think she knows when to shop. I think she knows to shop on Saturdays because she knows that I don't want my prayer life affected, you see, and I won't fuss, and therefore I'm ready to go and preach on Sunday morning. Amen? You wives know what you're up to. And that's all right. She deserves everything she gets. But I want God's power in my life. And I want to be very, very careful that I don't get into anything. And by the way, if it's real controversial, would you hold it until after church for me? I've had people walk up to me just before I walked in the pulpit. This is the pulpit under here, on the pulpit, behind the podium, and give me all kinds of garbage and all kinds of stuff. That's not the time to do it. Because I'm trying to keep my mind right, and if we get crossways before I walk up here, it's going to be harder for me to preach, amen? And you don't want that. It's hard enough anyway. But we want to be right with God. And our prayer life is not going to be answered if we don't stay right with the Lord. And many of these areas are things that God talks about. And we need to get honest about it and keep a short account on sin. Charles Tenley, who was a godly African-American preacher, wrote these words. And I won't quote the whole song, but these are beautiful words. And he says, "Nothing between in many trials, many hard trials. Though the whole world against me convened, watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last, listen to him, with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between." And he was right about it, wasn't he? A beautiful old song many of us have heard for a long time. God will not hear our prayers if we willfully harbor sin in our life. And we get that old argument, well, my sins are forgiven, as I mentioned. The Galatians tells us again in verse 13, chapter 5, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." That's true. But listen, there's more to that verse. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh," that's sin, "but by love serve one another." He says, just because we're saved gives us no right to use that security of the believer to go out and live like the devil or to have sin in our lives. It isn't the will of Almighty God. And then there's another door called praying earnestly, sincerely, really meaning your prayers. James 5, 16 and 17, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then he goes on to say, in addition to our text verses, similar, he said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly, earnestly, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. How did Elijah pray? He prayed earnestly. That means he really meant what he was saying. He was into it. He was totally into his prayer, believing what he was praying was important. I ask you tonight, do trials cause us to pray earnestly? Usually they do, and they should. But we should not come to God in a flippant way. I've heard prayers that meant they were meant to be humorous, I suppose, but they were very flippant. And I don't think God is pleased when we come to Him very flippantly in our prayers. I believe when we talk to God, we ought to be sincere and earnest as we talk to Almighty God. Hey, you're not just talking to anybody. You're talking to the great eternal God who made this earth, and the God who is holy, and the God who is all-powerful, and the God who knows your heart. And we need to come sincerely and not flippantly. A lot of times we say, well, I prayed about it. And that a lot of times we use that to excuse a wrong decision. And we say, I prayed about it. I could tell you some things that people have told me that I knew was not the will of God, and they were involved in sin. And they said to me as I was counseling, well, we prayed about it, preacher. I've had them say to me, we prayed about having premarital relationship, and God told us it was all right. Oh, no, God didn't tell you it was all right. You can say we prayed about it all day long. That doesn't make any difference. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. But we need to pray not flippantly or insincerely, but we need to pray earnestly to Almighty God. Sometimes we need to look at the life of Christ again and see Him as He prayed many times all night long. How long has it been, or has it ever been a time in my life and your life that we prayed all night long? Maybe if we were sick with 104 temperature, we might pray, Lord, make me well, off and on throughout the night. But I'm talking about just getting an old-fashioned burden and getting alone with God and praying all night long and praying with such intensity. Look at the prayer life of Christ, where He got alone and prayed. And then look at Him in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed. I ask you, was He praying earnestly? Absolutely. He was praying earnestly. Now, young people back there in the back, don't be talking while I'm preaching. All right? I usually don't notice those things, but I just happen to notice it. So don't do that. If so, I'm going to call your name. I'm so mean. You need to pay attention and listen to this message about prayer, because it's important. We need to pray earnestly. We need to pray earnestly like Jesus did. And if we're going to do that, it requires time and energy. Now, the flesh doesn't want to pray. When I get up in the mornings at 5 o'clock and I go to my prayer time as soon as I can, I'm telling you, the old flesh really doesn't want to pray. First, I have to give it a cup of coffee and bribe it a little bit. And then I go to the prayer room, and it takes effort to pray and to be there and to be consistent in it and to pray to Almighty God. But it's vital. It has to be done. It requires energy. It requires our time. It requires sober-minded men. I think it's great to have fellowship. I think it's great to laugh. I enjoy laughing. I love it. I enjoy humor, good, clean Baptist humor. Amen? Good, clean humor. Some of Baptist humor is not too clean, but I enjoy it. But we need to get down to business and pray and get earnest about it. We get earnest about our golf swing. Oh, amen. That's important. We can get really worked up about the kind of club we have in our golf swing and our fishing equipment, maybe, and all of that kind of thing. We need to get as earnest about God in prayer and getting a hold of God and getting some prayers answered and experiencing God. Some people just don't realize how great God is. They never experience Him because they don't pray like this. We need to get earnest and sincere about our prayers. And then there's one we may not think of sometimes, and that is the door of agreement. That's in the Bible. The door of agreement. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you agree to and bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, the context of that was about church discipline. And what he was saying was what is done, that local church takes disciplinary measures, that should be honored as if it was bound in heaven, and that's the way it ought to be treated, and we shouldn't back off on that. That means that the local church has that authority for discipline, and it is bound in heaven. But then in verse 19, in the same context, he says, again I say, Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you, are you listening? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now that's powerful. He says if two of us get together and we agree that it's the will of God and we pray and seek God's face, then we have the promise that if we have agreed together, God's going to answer our prayer. First, he says the whole church is involved. And then he says two Christians getting together and praying. Now, I suppose your greatest prayer partner ought to be your mate, amen? But even outside of that, I believe sometimes men need to have men that they get with and pray with. Women need to have women they get with and pray with. And they get a hold of Almighty God through their prayer life. And I believe that it's that way. Sometimes I will call a pastor or maybe a missionary. And I will say to them, listen, here's something that I want you to be praying with me about. Maybe it's a financial need for the church. Maybe it's a problem that has developed in the church. Of course, you know that never happens in Baptist churches, but in some churches it does. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a very personal thing. And I've never been overly high on accountability groups, but there's really nothing that wrong with it. We need to have somebody we can pray with and agree with us on some things and say, hey, this is important. I believe it's God's will, and I want you to agree with me it's God's will, and now let's pray about it. And then I've had the great privilege of picking up that same telephone, dialing them back in a few weeks, sometimes maybe a few months, and I suppose occasionally it's been over a period of years, to call them back and say, hey, thank you for praying. God just answered that prayer. You say, oh, it's just coincidental. It just happened that it was answered. I don't believe that for one whit. I believe that if we do what God says in prayer, then God's going to do something. And sometimes we're either a lack of faith or lack of interest or whatever. We don't share those prayer needs with other people. We need to do that. And when we do, God will take care of it. And by the way, any prayer need you have that you want to share with me, write it on a piece of paper, give it to me. I'll put it on my prayer list, and I'll spend some time praying about it. And so will our staff. We don't mind doing that one bit. We don't do like a lot of these televangelists when you write in and they throw all of them in the garbage can and the news media finds it later and they hadn't even been open other than to get the money out of them. But we're going to pray. By the grace of God, we will pray and ask God to answer prayer. And then there's another door, the door of fasting. The door of fasting. A little bit new and unusual to some people that are Baptist. The apostles, on one occasion, were trying to heal a lunatic boy. They failed. And they had the apostolic power, at least to the degree God gave it to them. And they failed to do that. And they came to Jesus. And they said, Jesus said, well, bring him over here. And he immediately healed him. And they would just say, well, why? You've given us authority. Why couldn't we do this? Now follow what he told them. Why didn't we have that kind of power? Why couldn't we heal? And I'm not talking about divine healing as such or divine healers, but I'm talking about the power of God in our lives and what Jesus told them about it. And here's what he told them. He said, you need to have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, and if you do, then you can say to this mountain, this problem out here, be removed, and it'll be removed. How many of us really believe that? Well, what is fasting? Jesus said in Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but how? By prayer and fasting. Fasting is doing without meals for a period of time. Maybe one day, going at sunset after your meal and then not eating anything after sunset, skipping breakfast, using that time to pray, skipping lunch, using that time to pray, skipping the evening meal, using that time to pray, and then pray at night. And then the next morning get up and your breakfast will taste so good you wouldn't believe it. When you fast, you can smell okra 10 miles away, man. It's something else. When you fast, all food, even spinach, tastes good and smells good. But God is serious about that. We need, when we run into these problems and the Spirit of God leads us to fast, I don't think we ought to do it for the wrong reason or spiritual pride or to brag about it. That's wrong. But there are times we need to fast. And fasting is just saying to God, I think this spiritual thing is far more important than my physical body right now. This is far more important. And God, I want to express myself to you in fasting and praying to let you know that this is important to me. You know what I've noticed many times after somebody loses a loved one? I remember when my brother was killed in a car wreck, 25 years of age. And I can remember some of my friends, we were at my sister's house and they were serving a meal. And back in those days, the body would lie in state sometimes in a person's home. And she had the larger house and we were there. And then people kept coming, "You need to eat. You need to eat something. You need to eat something." You know what? I really wasn't worried about eating. My heart was so grieved and so crushed that I didn't care whether I ate or not. And a lot of times we say that to people who have lost a loved one, and you know what? They don't want to eat. You know why? Something far more important they're going through. Something far more important is on their mind. The grieving process of having lost a loved one, and they just, food just means nothing to them at that particular time. I wonder if we love God enough sometimes to say to Him, "God, it's far more important to me to get on my knees and do without a meal or two." And I might add, most of us, including yours truly, we could do without a meal or two every once in a while. Amen? That's not the reason. That's a side benefit. That's not the reason. But we ought to fast and pray. And we can see more important prayers answered because we have a spiritual appetite. It is greater than the world or television or hobbies or possessions and all of that. Let me ask you a question. Do miracles still happen? The answer is yes. You answered correctly. Miracles still happen. Great things can still happen. But we've got to get serious with God, and we must learn to pray and fast and get a hold of God. And God will answer our greatest challenges by prayer and fasting. And our greatest failures, I believe, are prayer failures. I really believe that. Of all the failures that we have, our greatest failures are prayer failures. You know, it's a privilege to talk to God. The other morning I went in my little study at home. I've got just a little simple study there. I just thought I'd enjoy myself. And you'll say I'm crazy. I don't care. That's fine. I played like I was calling somebody. I called an important guy on the phone and I said, "Hey, how you doing this morning? Man, I'm glad you had time to talk to me." Then I hung up and then I called the president. I said, "Hey, president, how you doing? You know who I am. Maybe you don't, but I just thought I'd call you and talk to you." Then I hung that up. Then I called a third person. Then I hung that up, and I just laughing, having a great time in the Lord. And I said, "Lord, I know they wouldn't take my phone call, but I said, here's one that will." And I dialed up God, and I got on my knees, and guess what? He answered the phone. Amen. You see, that's fun. That's knowing God. Knowing that God's going to answer prayer. What a privilege to talk to God. You understand what a privilege it is to actually, I'm floored by the fact that I'm talking to God. To God. The one and only, true and living, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, everywhere present, God. And I get to talk to Him. And He never says, "Hey, make an appointment." Now, sometimes I have to tell you that, make an appointment. I'm not omnipresent. And so I can't meet with everybody at one time. God can. And I say, make an appointment. God never tells me, "Hey, I don't have time for you today." "Hey, make an appointment. I can see you next month." I was talking to some people this morning having medical problems. And they said, "I can't even get into my doctor. My doctor won't even refer me to anybody else. It's going to be a long time." Somebody else said, "Well, my doctor's on vacation. And they're somewhere in Cancun or somewhere. And I can't even see my doctor." I visited somebody Saturday that was telling me about that. And they have some serious health problems. Can't even see their doctor until sometime next week, if at all possible. But oh, thank God we can go to God in prayer anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter. And God has time. And God is real. And God listens. And God cares. And God will answer our prayers if these doors have been entered into. And if they've been right. We'll get our prayers answered when we do it God's way. What are your biggest challenges in your life tonight? What are they? What are your biggest problems, if you want to call them that? Let's call them challenges. What are they? Friend, bring them to God. Bring them to God. Enter these doors. Ask His will. Pray in Jesus' name. Believe that God will do it and can do it. Confess your sin. Agree with somebody if you have that opportunity. Fast and pray. God will answer our prayers. He'll answer our prayers for our family, for our church, our finances, our health, all of these different challenges that we have. In His way, in His time, God will answer prayer. And the greatest prayer, of course, the most important prayer you can pray, is when you ask God to come into your heart and Jesus to save your soul. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Frosty the Snowman and all of that. That's not what it is about the reindeer and so on and so forth. It's not even about families getting together, though we do all of that. And I'm not fussing about those things. It's not about the Christmas tree or the decorations you have on your house. It's about the reason for the season, and that is Jesus came and died. He was born in Bethlehem. That was a beautiful piece the choir did this morning. That was a blessing to me. If you were listening, they took us all the way through Christ coming in His life, His death, and burial. And I told Brother Rigsby, I said, you need to write another verse about His second coming and add to that about His coming again. Now, that might have been in there, and I missed it while he was talking to me. But at any rate, or I was talking to him. But at any rate, thank God, that's the reason for it. Jesus came and was born of a virgin. A little baby came to this earth, the miracle of miracles, so that He could live, God in the flesh, and die in my place, in your place. You don't have to go to hell, friend. I've got good news for you tonight. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die and spend eternity separated from God. You can go to heaven. How do you do that? You pray and believe. You confess your sin to God and tell Him that you're a sinner. And admit it. And by the way, you are. All of us are. And just ask Him to save your soul based on the finished work of Christ. And like everybody in this building that got saved, that's the way you get saved. That's exactly the way our baptismal candidate got saved during the revival. She didn't get saved by joining our church or baptism. That didn't save her a while ago. She got saved by trusting Christ and identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad Molly did that, aren't you? Thank God for that. Praise the Lord for it. But that's the first and most important prayer, and the one God is anxious and waiting for you to pray to come to Jesus as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. I want to ask you what challenges, while our heads are bowed, what challenges do you have tonight? Friend, you can bring them to the Lord. We need to enter these doors. We need to have sin confessed. We need to believe. We need to come before the Lord. Maybe some husbands and wives need to join each other at this altar tonight and pray together and make something known and agree that this is God's will and we want to come and pray about it and just do it in a public way before Almighty God and come to Him, whatever it may be tonight. If you're here without Christ, come and be saved. Father, bless in the invitation. It's yours. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is powerful. We thank You for the great, great privilege of prayer. And God, help us to go through these doors of prayer as we approach You biblically. Help us to be sincere about our prayer life and to pray in Jesus' name, knowing we have the authority and the right to come before You with His name on the check. God, speak to us tonight. Help us to bring our burdens, our challenges to You, our needs, whatever it may be. And I pray for that one that is nearest eternity, that tonight they would come and receive Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.